welcome back to the Lawn Hustle. If you're in the green industry, you are in the right place if you want to take your business to the next level. I am your host, Andy Wilson, a veteran with 16 years of experience in the field. Each week, we dive into strategies, stories, and secrets that can help you build a thriving lawn care business. Whether you're just starting out or you're wanting to scale, this is your space to learn, to grow, and to hustle smarter. Now, let's get to work. In tonight's episode, we have the iconic Eric Triplett, the Pond Digger. And I am so excited to have him on my show. We met at Equip Expo, and that was the first time I had ever had the privilege of meeting him, but I had listened to his podcast, and I had followed his content, so I knew some about the Pond Digger, but I am thrilled that he's with us tonight. Eric, thank you for joining the Lawn Hustle.
My pleasure, man. My pleasure. Let's hustle.
Hey, let's do it. Well, when I was talking to you at the Equip Expo, I found out you and I both have one major thing in common, and that is we are both throat cancer survivors.
Crazy, huh?
It blew my mind when I heard you were a throat cancer survivor.
Yeah.
But we beat it. We are not victims. We are victors.
Yes.
We are overcomers. We are achievers. So I appreciate you being on the show. And tonight I want to talk about teamwork makes dream work. I want to talk about your team.
Okay.
And I know you have 12,300 followers on Instagram. You have 155,000 subscribers to your YouTube channel. When I look at you, I see a business coach. I see a mentor. I see a friend to many. So, someone of your status has to have a good team around them. Can you tell us a little bit about your team, how many employees you have, and how you divide up the work?
Okay, there's a handful of questions there. So currently we have 14. We're usually running 13 to 15 on average at our place. Our company is fairly diversified. Whether we have construction, we have service, we have maintenance, we have a small manufacturing team as well, and then we have our ranch, our wildlife rehabilitation center. So like we're typically in that 13 to 15 range. So that's for starters right there. And you said a couple of things like making the team work, make the dream work. I want to kick this off with a little bit of power right away, because it took me many years to realize, you know, like, You have to be building a dream big enough for your team to want to build that dream with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I know if subcontractors are like, hey, I'm just going to hire some guys and I'm going to get them to, you know, do some grunt work for me to help me build my dream. But if you really want a really big vision, if you want to influence people and have people stay with you for a long time, your dream has to be big enough to help support those families, their babies, their home purchases and their vehicles and things like that. And that's where the really hard work comes in. It's easy to hire someone just to help you do some grunt work and you make some extra cash, make some money. That's the easy part. The hard part is the keeping them around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I was listening to one of your podcasts this summer while I was mowing, and you were interviewing a guy that works for you, and you were talking about when you hire someone, you build such a team that people don't want to leave you. How do you do that?
Well, it's a constant battle. It's a constant work, right? Not everyone wants to start their own business, and I think a lot of contractors and entrepreneurs and hustlers out there, they might start a business and they don't want to give too much information to their employees because they think they're going to just leave them and take their customers and like all that stuff built up. A lot of people just don't want that. They're not cut that way. They're not built that way, right? Sometimes they just want to, they want to come in, they want to do their 8 hour or 10 hour shift and like, and do a good, honest work. Right. And then go home to their families and do their things. Right. So I think a lot of contractors have a trouble with that. And I think the more that I'm open with my team about my dreams and goals and what I want to do for them and creating some culture, one of my core values at our company is team. Like team is part of my core value. And if someone comes on to my team, they might be a fantastic worker, but they don't work well with others. They're not a good fit. Like they have to go. I don't care if they can make me a ton of money going out and doing service calls, because when they come to the company meetings, when they show up in the morning and like those kind of things, right? That's not a good fit. So you have to find that culture is really, really important.
And how do you build a sense of pride and ownership within your team so that they want to work for the Pond Digger? It's not just a job. They get up in the morning, they look forward to coming to work. How do you build that sense of pride and ownership within your team?
I would say the first thing that we do is training. You're like train. You got to train these guys how to do the work, right? So in my business, we're like an artist, right? We build waterfalls and they're pretty and everything, right? I know contractors that, I remember this one contractor specifically that was specialized in ponds. And he was like 60, like he was almost ready to retire. He'd been doing it for 20 years. And he's like, oh, I don't let anybody do the liner penetrations. I don't let anyone do the seals on the faceplate. Like it's too important. It's too critical. I have to do it, right? And so I was literally blown away. Like, how come you don't have your team do that, right? It's not because I don't want to do it, but I want to empower them. I want them to feel like they're learning. Like I'll have a guy that's been on the team for a week and I'll have him do a critical faceplate waterproofing seal, like one of the most important things to do on the pond. I'll teach him how to do that and I'll show them how to do it. And like, here it is, they've been here for a week and they're already doing this critical task. And then the next time I might turn them loose on it, like, hey, go do that faceplate so you learned last week. And they're like, oh, I gotta do it myself. Like there's this incredible empowerment right there, right? There's trust, there's faith. You know, we're still training and we're still watching, we're still overseeing, but like, you know, here's a guy that's been doing it for 18 years and he's got a guy that's been with him for 8 years and he's never done a faceplate seal. This guy's been with me 8 days and I'm already training him how to do that. So that kind of training is really important, I think.
It builds that trust between you and your employees and lets them know that I trust you enough to do this job. Yeah. Now, you and I both know, as business owners, there's some things that only you and I can do. But then there's a lot of things that we need to delegate and allow our team members to work on that task and complete that task without micromanaging them. You don't want your team to feel like you're constantly looking over their shoulder and watching every move they make, watching them to see if they make a mistake. You want them to feel, I belong here. This is my place of employment where I come and I work and provide for my family. And it's a culture that you're building. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. I want to touch back on something here as far as the training goes. Like when you start to compliment your guys, your team, and you give them the credit on things, I think that's a really important factor as well. Mm-hmm. You know, not much too often, you know, in my business, like the artistry of it, but it happens in all the lawn care, you know, the stripes and the trimmings and the arborists and all those things. Like a lot of times the owner wants to take all the credit for that work. I mean, I just give all the credit to my team members, right?
Right.
waterfall construction, the edge treatment, even if I come in and make a correction and say, hey, this can be done a little bit better, look a little bit more natural. Have you considered trying it like this? Put a few more plants right here. I'll do that with my team. And then when the homeowner comes out, like, oh my God, the pond's beautiful. I didn't go like, well, I had to teach him how to make this edge look nice. I just go, yeah, my guys are amazing. They're good, right? And then all of a sudden they get better and better. And then they're like, whoa, he gave me the credit, even though like he had to fix something for me, right?
Right. And then they want to work harder for you.
Yeah.
If you're constantly building them up instead of tearing them down, they want to put forth their best effort every day.
And that builds out the culture too. One thing I want to build on here, and I don't know if I answered your question. I think I went sideways on it, so I can answer it again if I need to. But one thing, like on one of my coaching calls in my inner circle just recently, we were talking about building out the year. And for us in the pond industry specifically, in Southern California anyways, we grind really hard in the springtime. And by like June 1, we have this real heavy seasonal maintenance that we have to do, right? So by June 1, everyone's exhausted and beat up. And right as it starts to get hot, it's triple digits out here, right? It's warm. And so right there around June 1, 2, 3 this year, I'm going to do something special with my team. I'm going to pay them for the day off. We're going to go out and do something in an air-conditioned building. We'll go bowling or something. We'll have pizza and beer or something like that. We'll just like relax. I'll pay them for the day and we'll have fun.
Nice.
And you know that, and my team looks forward to those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Another fun thing that we do, I want to share with you. I don't think a lot of people do it, and I think my team really, really loves it. So on Thanksgiving, this is one of the things. We the day before Thanksgiving, Thursday, we're always off for Thanksgiving. Well, we only work like a half day on that Wednesday. And at the ranch here, right before we take off for the four-day holiday, you know, I have a fire pit going, have a couple adult beverages, we have some food, whatever. And we have a moment where we all circle up as a team and we share things about each other that we like.
Nice.
Like, hey, I want to share this memory that I had for Austin. He really blew me away this year when he did this. And then we just go around the whole circle. And then like people are just laughing and some people are crying and some, you know, like we're hugging. And like, it's like this real, it's a real important moment. I think it's a really important team building thing right there.
Oh, that is so good. Yeah. I appreciate that. When you talk about getting into the heat of summer out there in California where you're from, how do you deal with burnout among your team? Or does your team experience burnout? Is it such a culture where they really don't feel burnout? How do you address that?
Okay. Well, burnout's very real. I mean, it's with everything. But I think I have enough emotional intelligence where I'm watching for those moments. And that's the time when we go out and we do something nice. We do something, you know, fun. I remember one time I hired this guy, like, I don't know, let's say it was a Wednesday. It was his first day, right? And I had a thing planned out for Thursday. We were going to all go to, we all went fishing. I was like, hey, we're going fishing tomorrow. Like, and everyone's like, oh, sick. You know, they got all happy about it, right? You have this little burnout happening. Boom, all of a sudden we're going fishing. And this one guy, it was his second day with working for us. And like, we're out on the fishing trip, everyone, right? And we're having a good time of fishing and we're just relaxing and trying to like, you know, like it's my way of rewarding them, saying, hey, I'm really thankful for you. I can't build this without you guys, right? And so there's moments like that that are really important. So I think when you're planning for those kind of things, this is all comes down to like you selling your jobs for the right amount of money and having enough money to do those kind of things for your team. If the people are listening to your show right now, they're not charging enough and doing the right thing to grow their business, they don't have the money to do those kind of things,
right?
So it comes down to like they might suck at sales because they can't even afford to do that, right? And so I think moments like that are really important. The contractors have to be able to be selling their jobs for enough money to where they can take care of their team correctly. And if they're not, then they need to consider, you know, changing their pricing structure.
If they're not, they need to learn their value real quick.
Yeah.
And charge according to their value. I told a customer not long ago, you're not paying me for my time. You're paying me for my experience. Mm-hmm. And when, after 16 years of being in this business, if I can get the job done quicker than someone who's just starting out, that comes by experience. So know your value, know your worth, and charge accordingly. Let's go back to when you first started your business. When did you realize that you needed to build a team and when you needed to scale your business to the next level?
When I first started out, I was doing aquarium maintenance and installation. And, you know, I hired an apprentice, and then he got good enough, I could send him on his own. I hired another apprentice to always kind of be supporting me, and I could be training all the time. But it wasn't until I got, like, heavily into ponds, and, you know, we were, you know, to build a pond efficiently, you need a five-man team, right? And then I needed someone in the office because the phones were ringing. And then after we had built 300 ponds, you know, that's like, it just happens in a blink of an eye. Then all of a sudden people are calling and going like, hey, I need a pump replaced. I need help with cleaning. And can you come and maintain them? And like, so it, I think it just snowballed for me, honestly. There wasn't like this a moment, because when I got into business, it's because, I mean, I was a journeyman carpenter. And I shouldn't say carpenter. I'm very sensitive about that. I was a journeyman framer, okay? So I was a journeyman framer, and I really enjoyed what I did. I loved what I did, and I was in my early 20s, but I remember being on a roof one day, and I was a crew chief, like, because I was hauling ass and hustling and having a good time, right? But I remember being in charge of, like, 60-year-old men in my early 20s, right? And these guys were not happy about that. And they were burnt out. And they were just like, you know, they were just drunk all the time at night and coming in with hangovers and just thought, I got to get this 21-year-old kid telling me what to do. And so I was like, wow, this could be me when I grow up. You know, like, I think this is like how it goes. I want to do what I love, and that's play with fish, you know, aquariums and, like, you know, so it was breeding fish and all this stuff. So in the whole beginning was just like a flash for me. And it was all out of love and experience with the fish. So I was very blessed in that regard. It kind of just snowballed. And as the company grew, I just would get more people on.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you go to hire people, how do you identify the right fit for your business? We both know that not everyone is cut out to work in lawn maintenance. Not everyone's cut out to work in building ponds and maintaining ponds. Mm. So is there something that you look for in individuals, or something that you recognize, this person would be a good fit?
It's a really good question, and I don't have a magic answer for it. But I will tell you that, you know, over the years, you know, you get to a point sometimes where you just need bodies, right? And so just like, give me a body, I need to move rock or whatever. But as I've matured and have let my team go more and like sent them out on their own, oftentimes when I do an interview process now, I have my staff pre-qualifies the person who's applying for a job. They pre-qualify them. Do they have a good driver's license? Because I run off emotion, man. I'm an emotional kind of guy. I'm like, oh, this person, they seem nice. I want to help them out. Like, but they don't have a driver's license, so now they can't drive for me. It's a pain in my ass. So, like, just pre-qualify them. Let's get the emotions out of the way. You know, do they have a good valid driver's license? You know, do they have a mode of transportation to get to work on time? Do they live within an hour? You know, an hour. Like, people are applying for a job an hour and a half away. That doesn't make sense, right? Cut all that nonsense and all that noise out for me and get us to sit down. What I've been doing now is we get an interview from them, a video interview of the person. So I can see if they look at the camera, if they talk, if they have some, you know, a little bit of technology. Can you press record and, you know, answer questions online? I think that's really helpful. And then it gives a sense of that person, right? You know, if the room's all dark and they have a hoodie on and, you know, they're slouched down in their chair, like, oh, you know, like, I don't even need to see that person, right? And so And now when I do interviews, it's really helpful because I have one of my team members with me on the interview. So I can have I'm not just going off my heart, my emotions. I'm like, what did you think? How did you feel about that person? And they actually give me some really good perspective where I'm like, well, I didn't think about that. I'm glad you mentioned that, you know? One thing I also do, you know, it's part of my coaching group. I study personality profiling a whole lot. And that would mean like, so if someone sits down and they're very braggadocious, then I'd be like, okay, this is probably a 3 personality type. And I know for a fact with me that personality type, and I don't get along really well sometimes. Like that could be trouble in the future, right? I need you to be more humble, right? Or, you know, if they're indecisive, I have a little bit of trouble with that. So I'm like, I understand personality typing pretty well. I mean, better than most contractors. So I'm looking for these personality traits in them that I'd be like, hey, this is a good fit. That it could work well for us, right? And oftentimes during the interview process, I'll even say, hey, would you be, you know, opposed to taking a personality typing test so we can kind of see our communication skills? And if they're like, yeah, let's go for it, then I can really assess them.
That is really good. I was just fixing to ask you, what is your leadership style? And how do you share your vision and your goals with your team to make them feel a part?
Okay, it's a little bit of a complicated, long, drawn out question, but I want to share with you something that I think is really helpful. So we have a weekly meeting with my team. Okay. Everybody meets, whether they're, you know, a ranch hand and they're shoveling manure, or they're my office staff, or, you know, they're my 6 a.m. crew. Like I've worked it out to where, because I have a 6 a.m. crew, I have a 7:30 a.m. crew, I have an 8 a.m. crew. Like, so all these crews are coming together. So I've carved it out to where we have a weekly meeting, right? And everyone's involved. We circle up. It takes about half an hour. And, you know, we do time cards and those kind of things. Here's something important. And I don't know if this is off topic just a little bit, but every single day, it's not off topic, it's off your question a little bit. Every morning, everyone gets knuckles. We walk around, we knuckle up, or high five. Like, you know, it used to be like a high five. The new high five is the knuckles, right? Everyone knuckles up. I don't care. Like, there's something about human contact that is so powerful, it cannot be explained. I can't explain it, right? But when I meet you and I shake your hand or we knuckles, like our skin touches and something happens there magically. I'm just telling you that. So every morning we knuckle up. I touch my people every day. And I know that's kind of weird in today's age. Like, you can't touch me, right? It's a little weird, but this is construction. But the girls, like, knuckle up. And it's really interesting when you have a new person come on and they come into the meeting and, like, we all knuckle up. And people are like, I'm like, hey, you got to knuckle up, dude. You got to get in there, knuckle up. Go introduce yourself. And I'm like, hey, this is Jacob, everyone. And he walks the circle and everyone's like, what's up, Jacob? What's up, Jacob? I think that's a really powerful moment. So during that meeting, and I think this kind of gets your question, is we'll talk about weekly wins. I'm like, hey, what's your win for the week? What's your win for the day? Whatever. And we'll go around the circle. There's 15 people. Not too many people are going to go like, I don't have time to listen to 15 people talk about what's going on, like, in their life. Like, it's important. I want to know about you. What makes you happy? What makes you tick? One guy, it's like, hey, my son, I taught him how to, he's finally went poop on the potty this weekend. That was a big win for me. And like, we're like, cool, man. That's awesome. Like, I know what's going on in his house. Yeah. Right.
Right.
And he knows that I care.
Right.
Right. And then someone else is, you know, it's the first day at school. Hey, I just dropped my kids off at school. It's their first day at school. And someone's like, you know, I don't have much this weekend. I'm like, all right, cool. Hopefully you have something to share next week. Sometimes they're having a bad day. But, and then we know, like, hey, Justin's having a tough day. Like, let's, you know, and then we're all going to rally in on that guy. I got goosebumps as I tell you this, because I think it's a really important part of building that team. Right? Is knowing we care. And it's not just like, let's get to work and let's grind, let's mow grass, let's build ponds, right? So it's a moment for us to talk about that. And during those meetings, I'll tell people what my goals are. I'll tell people what my vision is. I'll tell people, you know, I want to hit 3 million this year. This is what we have to do to get there. This is how we can all rally together so we can all grow as this. We can all get better. I can have you guys the best tools that you need, and we'll get you new trucks. And like, that's the vision time right there. And so I think that empowers people. We've knuckled up. They know that we care about each other, and they know that we have big visions and we have a lot of work to do. So that happens every week. I think it's really important.
Well, I'm so excited about your business. I want to come to work for you. But I know at Equip in the media room, when we met and I shook your hand, I felt a connection with you as we were talking. And then when you told me that you were a throat cancer survivor, because I told you a little about my story, I felt that connection. And if your team members are feeling that from you, I felt like you genuinely cared about my story. And if your team members are feeling, hey, Eric really cares about us, we're not just employees, we're team members. And if they're feeling that about you, I'm sure they go above and beyond to make sure you get the jobs done in a timely manner, in a professional manner, a job that would make your customers proud and make you proud as the business owner. With your team, do you spend more time working on your business or working in your business?
I spend more time on the business. You know, I mean, I haven't cleaned a pond in over a decade, probably. Mm-hmm. I still know it inside and out. I know all the efficiencies. A lot of times I'm in there training. I'll show up at a job site, maybe a high profile client with a very expensive fish collection. I'll show up while the fish are being, you know, moved and transported around. But that's mainly for the customer to feel comfortable, right? That I've had for, you know, 15 years. I might just pop in on them. But yeah, I'm doing a lot of back-end stuff. I'm doing a lot of vision stuff. And I spend probably, I would say probably 10 hours a week just on my coaching group, right? It's a very small private coaching group where it's not a full-time job for me. I'm just very fulfilled by that. It's not even where I make a whole lot of money, right? It's more so like, I just totally step away from the business for 2 hours a day, right in the middle of the day, every week. And I just work on that coaching group, and I call up, one of my inner circle members, like, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? You know, I got a call after our podcast right now to just check on one of my guys and be like, hey, you said you were going to do this today. Did you get it done? And he'll be like, yeah, I got it done. Yeah. So like, yeah, I spend a lot of time doing sync up meetings. So like from 6 a.m. to about 10 a.m. every day, I'm just in sync meetings. Like I'll meet with the crew for a couple minutes. You have all the tools you need, anything weird, any nuance that we need to discuss. Or if someone didn't show up or, you know, one of the vehicles is having trouble in the morning, we can make a couple quick decisions together. And then, you know, so that's like half my day up to lunchtime. I'm not doing anything in the business.
Okay. Question I want to ask you about your leadership. How has it evolved over time? I'm sure you're a better leader today than you was when you first started. So what did you do to invest in yourself to make you become a better leader? What books have you read? Who is your mentor? Who influences you? Things like that.
Okay. So I've paid for a lot of coaching over the years. I've put out money to invest in myself. I think it's always a great investment.
Yes, you know, sir.
It's just like buying a truck. That's a great investment for your company, but also getting coaches a lot. So you know, I paid for coaches over the years. Of course, I love listening to podcasts. You know, I always got a podcast in my ear. I love Dan Martell. Is one of someone I look up to currently. I've read his book, Buy Back Your Time. It's a fantastic book, and I've implemented a lot of that stuff into my life. And, you know, it's interesting because I want to explain coaching just a little bit, because a lot of times coaching can be expensive. You might put out $10,000 to be coached for a, you know, a certain amount of time, right? And I did a podcast with, gosh, his name's slipping my mind right now. Oh, I'm super embarrassed by that. It's on the tip of my tongue. It'll come to me. But I did a podcast on becoming coachable, right? And he was sharing with me, he was spending like $120,000 this year on coaching. And I was like, holy crap. Wait, you're a coach. And you spent, you know, it's Win Rate Construction. I forgot the guy's name. I'm really pissed right now. But Win Rate Construction. So he's spending that much money. I'm like, wait, you're a coach and you're spending $120,000 a year on coaching. So like, if I wanted to get coached by Dan Martell, it's like $300,000. I mean, I don't have that kind of money, right? So I listen to his podcast, I watch his content, and I read his book, and I get better. And then I spend money on a coach that I can't afford. And maybe one day I'll be chilling with, you know, Dan Martell, right? So that's one really important thing for becoming better as a leader on that. I think that's influenced me tremendously.
You're the third person that I've had on my show that has mentioned that book, Buy Back Your Time.
Yeah, I mean, it's right here. Yeah. That's how important this book is to me. It's right there. You know, and I feel like, you know, when you interview someone and they have all these books on their wall behind you, you know, I think it's like, it kind of annoys me sometimes, but I have a couple of books that I keep out. I always want to see them. I walk in the room and I'm like, hey, if it's out of sight, out of mind, it's not good, right? But plus, like that book right there, I reference it all the time. Like, what did you say? I gotta check that out. You know, it's like something I would study. It's not just a book you read once and put it on the shelf.
Well, Brian Fullerton with Fullerton's Lawn Care,
yeah,
in Michigan. And Jeremiah Jennings out of Birmingham, Alabama, and yourself is the third person that has referenced that book. I've got it on hold through my local library waiting to get it. If it doesn't come in soon, I'm just going to go buy it. Because after three people reference that book, I've got to read it.
Yeah, you have to. It's I think I've read it at least twice, and I've listened to the audiobook twice.
Wow.
I mean, it's important. I'm looking up his name right now. I don't feel like I feel brain dead right now. I can't. For Win Rate Consulting. So terrible. I can't remember his name. I'm getting old.
Let's go back to your team. How do you promote professional growth with your team? Do you send them to training sessions, or do you host training sessions for your team to educate them and to help them be a better team member?
I try and do that a lot inside. I had this moment I want to share with you. 155,000 subscribers on YouTube channel. You mentioned it, right?
Yes.
And a lot of the videos are all training videos on how to build ponds and all this stuff, right? And so I don't remember the exact time, but I know I was like frustrated with one of my guys because like they weren't getting it, right? And I'm like, I just haven't trained him enough. I really figured it out. I'm like, I haven't trained him enough. And so you guys shouldn't have to, like, as business owners, you're like, go home and watch the video so you can figure out how to do it. No, you got to pay the guys to watch the videos, right? They want to play with their kids. They want to play with their hobbies. They want to exercise. They want to go for a bike ride, whatever, right? So they shouldn't have to watch those videos at night. So a lot of times I'll be like, hey, watch this video. This is when I taught the world how to do this, right? You know, and so they watch the video and like, oh, cool. And then I'll take them out and I'll train them. So the training part comes from, I know I can teach these people a lot, right? So, but I'll send my staff to a training seminar. Like, I know I'm going to take half of my staff, my inner staff, to Tommy Mello's event, Home Service Freedom event in San Diego later this year. And then I have four of my team members I'm taking to Oklahoma this year to a seminar, like there's seminars on how to, you know, how to take care of lake management and those kind of things. So it's one of our industry events. I'm taking them to that event. And I'm actually taking them out early. And it's cool because like we're flying out of state, we're staying in hotels, then there's gonna be a casino. And then there's a big pond build going out there, and it gives them a chance to be involved with other influencers, other builders. They get the chance to show that their skills and stuff, right? So I think that's really important. So yeah, I think that's a really important fact of the business. But I think it starts from within. Because if you can teach it, the better you understand it. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Like,
yeah, the better you can explain it, the better you understand it. So if you're having trouble explaining whatever it is about your business to someone, you don't know it well enough. So you need, you know, like it, I think you become better at your craft when you start teaching it. So right. I think that's an important factor too. So yeah, yes to everything, training, and take them on the road with you. What if you can?
Let's take a break and hear a word from my sponsor. We'll be right back.
The corner. Are you ready to grow your lawn and landscaping business this year? If you want to stand out from the competition and attract quality leads, a professional website is the way to go. That's where Green Frog Web Design comes in. They'll create a beautiful, user-friendly website that showcases your services, highlights your best work, and helps customers find you fast. Your new website will make a lasting impression and bring in the clients that you want to attract. And here's the best part. Right now, you can get started for just $1 for the first month. It's an offer so good, even our competition started using it. This spring, grow your business. Head over to greenfrogwebdesign.com today, or just click the link in the bio and let them build the perfect website for your landscaping or lawn care company.
And we're back with Eric Triplett, the Pond Digger. We've been talking about teamwork, and teamwork makes dream work. You and I both know, as we grind and hustle every day, there's just some days that we don't feel like going and constructing a pond or mowing grass, because sometimes morale is down. When morale gets to a low level on your team, what actionable steps do you take to boost that morale back up where it needs to be?
Go fishing.
There you go.
I mean, look, I know we talked about that already, but like everything that we've talked about before, morale doesn't drop much. If you're doing all these things, if you're building the culture, if you're knuckling up, if you're quarterly taking these guys out to do things, you're going to find that morale is not dipping. It's not slipping. It might be with one technician. It might be with one employee. And you take them to the side and you go like, bro, are you okay? What's going on in your life? And you'll find out that, hey, me and my wife might be splitting up, or like, you know, you'll find something down with that person. So I think a lot of that can be built in that. We have a great Christmas party. I'm not afraid to have a beer with the guys and like, you know, bro down with them if I have to. A lot of people are like, oh, I never have a beer with one of my guys. You know, like I know there's guys out there like that, but like I care about my team. That's where I'm at in my business, right? And so I think if you lay out this format, if you lay out this foundation, and again, most contractors aren't charging what they're supposed to be charging. They haven't hit the right numbers. So they're like, I can never take my guys out to do that. I can't do the bowling. I can't do a boot day. Like I remember one day I had the whole crew in, we had our company meeting. I'm like, hey, everyone hop in the truck. We're going to Boot Barn. We're getting boots today. Right. And we walk in the front door at Boot Barn, you know, and I spend $3,000, and everyone's like, oh, we got to help these guys. Look at all these guys are going to buy boots, right? At Boot Barn here locally. Shout out to them. Not officially sponsored by them yet, but they get commissions on their sales. Right. So like, you know, like when you do things unexpectedly like that, like they're just that they, everyone holds a little different, their head a little bit higher, a little bit more caring.
I think sometimes just the smallest gestures mean the most to team members. When you show them that Hey, I notice you're not as talkative today, or you're not as excited today. What's going on? I had one guy, I noticed all day long he was just quiet, just didn't talk much. So around noon, I pulled him off to the side, like you were talking about. And I said, hey man, what's going on? Are you okay? And he began to tell me about his grandmother was sick and he was really concerned about her. So I said, I tell you what, when we go to lunch, I'll run you home. I'm going to pay you for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. I want you to go visit your grandma. Yeah. Spend some time with her. Talk to her. He came back to work the next day just full of excitement because her fever had broke and she was making a turn for the better. And he thanked me and said, man, I appreciate you so much for the opportunity that you gave me to spend time with my grandma yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's just the small little gestures that we can do to show our team, hey, we're sold out on you. We're invested in you because you're investing in me by your work and your dedication to the company. So we all know that there's a big talk nowadays about who the GOAT is in basketball. Was it Michael Jordan or is it LeBron James? My feelings is, and I think you would probably agree with me, Michael Jordan wouldn't have been the player he was. LeBron isn't the player that he is at 40 years old if it wasn't for the teams around them. The teams make them, or they make the team. Larry Bird, when I was growing up, he was my idol. He's from Indiana. He's slow. He was a white guy. Couldn't jump. But he made Robert Parrish a better center. He made Nate Tiny Archibald a better guard. He made Kevin McHale a better forward. And I think that's what teamwork, whether it's in basketball, lawn care, or pond construction and maintenance, if we can all make each other better, and we all invest in each other, I think that just excels us to success.
Absolutely. I love it. And by the way, Michael Jordan is the GOAT. And
yes, he is.
As I told you earlier, like when we first started the whole conversation, if I have a team member who might make me a ton of money and be great at what he does, but if he does not make the, if he is like a cancer to the team, he's out. I'll cut that guy out immediately. Right. And so I do think that you're 100% accurate there.
Well, I heard today that Eric Triplett is an icon when it comes to pond construction and maintenance. It was on a review that I read about you. I Googled the pond digger, and one of the reviews says Eric Triplett is an icon.
Oh, my God.
I am so honored that you came on my show.
I'm the honored one. Come on. That's really cool. I love it. I need to give a shout out to Mike Claudio. I had to look him up. Mike Claudio is from Winrate. He was on my podcast. He was amazing. He's super, super awesome guest, and he's a great coach.
I like these podcasts where we focus on a subject and not just talk about off the cuff.
I am 100% with you. I'm way more into when you said let's talk about teamwork. I'm like, perfect. I know exactly where we're going.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important factor.
Yeah. Well, I consider you a friend, and I look up to you. I value your input and your knowledge into the service industry. Because of the things that you do, I can implement and make my business better. And I'm sure our listeners tonight are better off today because they heard you speak on my podcast.
Thank you. I hope we made a difference with someone.
Yes, sir. Well, if you have found value in this podcast, I hope you would give us a 5-star rating and a kindly worded review. You can find our podcast on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and YouTube. Again, it was an honor to have Eric Triplett, the Pond Digger. Tell our listeners, Eric, before we go, where they can find you, how they can connect with you.
Hey, thank you for that opportunity. I'm on all the social media platforms as the Pond Digger or Eric Triplett. And I would love it if you guys are into podcasts. I put a lot of time and effort and my heart and soul into my podcast, the Pond Digger Podcast, found on iTunes and Spotify and all the other platforms.
And I can attest to the fact that you will not be disappointed. If you listen to his podcast, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit the notification button because you do not want to miss one episode. I am a frequent listener, and at the end, I want more. Can't wait till the next episode.
Thank you so much.
So Eric, Tony Rudolph told me that while I was a guest on his podcast, he said, when I meet a friend, it's for life. So, you're stuck with me.
Good.
We're friends. And I appreciate you. And I want you to know, I pray for your health. I pray for your strength. I pray for your success. And I wish you nothing but the best.
That means a lot to me, Andy. Thank you so much.
All right. Until we talk again, we will call this a wrap, and join us again for the next episode of the Lawn Hustle.